starting a smartwatch brand, Omate, on Kickstarter and taking it to the next level, Laurent shares his story. Welcome to Global from Asia, episode number 85.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Recording today's intro from a hotel here in Shanghai, and I've been struggling getting on internet, getting these funky new requirements at the hotel that I stay in that I have to scan a WeChat QR code and follow this page, and then I have to register with my name, my phone number, and other personal information to create an account. So that I think the government and the hotel likes this podcast so much that they can listen into it right now with us. So I hope they enjoy the show. Anyways, my weekly newsletter, I've been doing weekly now since October when Dustin Ellard, my friend, gave me a lot of great advice, kept pushing me to get email addresses and start building relationships with people via email. And I was dragging my feet getting it started, but getting a lot of people enjoying the newsletter, and readers are opening and listening and give me ideas and other stories. So I appreciate that. And it really motivates me. And they ask me how much time it spend to do it. It takes me about 1 to 2 hours. Usually I do it on Sunday night, kind of like preparing for the new week, looking through news and articles throughout the web, as well as clippings I found on the go for the week before that I want to put into the newsletter. And I compile them all together and I put a little bit of personality and I try to put some of my feedback and summaries. So this is news from around the web. And then after that, I put a little bit of updates on the blog and podcast of Global from Asia. And it's been really helpful. I think I learned this model from Dan Andrews at Tropical MBA. I really enjoy his newsletter too. So if you guys want to get some news and updates about Hong Kong business, Asia business news, I try to keep a little bit fun and sometimes throw a joke or two in there too. You can check it out and subscribe at globalfromasia.com/subscribe. Okay, and now on today's show, we have my friend Laurent Le Pen, a French entrepreneur who I met when I first came to China. And we both were coming at the same time to Shenzhen in late 2007, early 2008 timeframe. And we met at like an outing on a Saturday. I remember we sat next to each other on the bus, and it was just random. And we've been in touch since then, and he's made a lot of progress. He's now the founder of a smartwatch brand called Omate, and he was just accepted into the 500 Startups program in Silicon Valley. So we did the interview while he was in the office, and it's pretty cool. I wish we had some video, but it was still audio podcast and it's easier for everybody to get this great information. So he gives us some insights about how he raised $1 million in Kickstarter and how he built his brand and now how he's moving into the 500 Startups program. So let's listen in. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in. And we have with us Laurent Le Pen at the 500 Startups office. And it's a really great chance to get you on an interview. So I've known you for many years, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. So we both came to China about the same time in 2007, almost the exact same time. So it was almost 2008 at that time. But do you mind introducing yourself for our listeners? Just a quick, I know there's so many things, but just maybe a little bit of your background, where you're from, and your business.
Sure. So I'm Laurent Le Pen. I'm French, and I moved when I was 25 years old. I moved to Shenzhen. Yeah, we met the first weekend. Actually, we arrived at the same time. More than 7 years ago. And I'm currently the founder and CEO of Omate, which is a company which design wearables and smart jewelries, and we are part of the batch 13 now in Montevideo of 500 startup.
Great.
So that's what we do, and that's who I am.
Awesome. Yeah, so we'll get into some details in today's interview. So let's maybe start a little bit in earlier times. Like, how did you first come to China when we had met at about that same time? What was your story?
So actually, that makes 10 years. No, I mean, after getting graduated like 10 years ago, I I got hired as a strategic buyer for a company working with Philips Mobile, designing phones. And 2 years after, the company got acquired, and they asked me, do you want to stay in France or do you want to become manager in China? So I said, oh, yeah, I'm 25 years old. I decided to move to China. So that was a great epic adventure. And then step by step, I continue working in the mobile phone design industry up to creating, setting up my company almost 2 years ago.
Got it. So, yeah, I mean, you definitely have tons of experience and you've been doing in this space for so many years. I remember you showing me some of your projects in those days. So then let's talk about your current venture, Omate. When did that start and how?
So basically, it was in early 2013. I was in charge of a product with my partner Jack. We were working on a very tiny module, and we called that. It was an Android board that we created, and the goal was to make Android wearable. And we didn't know that a year after, Google would be working on that, but we show that module to many of our potential customers. So every big companies, big tier one mobile companies, been to Japan, to the US, to Korea. Anyway, all of them told us it's great, but it's very complex. So we decided to do it by ourselves. So the project name was Outdoor Mate. Like a outdoor and mate, and then we use the O and mate, and we create Omate. And
cool.
Then we with that project, actually we launched it on Kickstarter 2 months after setting up the company, officially setting up the company in July 2013. So in end of August we were on Kickstarter, and our goal was to raise $100,000 within 30 days. We raised them after half a day. So we got a lot of press suddenly. We got a lot of highlights in the media. And at the end of our campaign, we raised over $1 million. And after that, we have been like working with our distributors. And it has been quite successful.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've definitely gotten amazing Kickstarter that you've been in some events and other, even sharing a lot with other entrepreneurs and business owners about your Kickstarter success. So yeah, that's a great milestone, 100K on your alpha day and a million in your total campaign. That of course could be a whole interview by itself, but, is there something you can like share that you think was success for the campaign for other listeners trying to learn or?
Yeah, actually, right now, Kickstarter or Indiegogo are very popular for many entrepreneurs who want to. It's a great marketing tool, and it's a fantastic platform like to get access to a lot of end users and a lot of customers. But it's not since the very beginning, and that's what I tell to anyone about crowdfunding, is definitely not a platform to make money. On $1 million, we just got break even from that $1 million. So, but it must be seen as a great marketing tool to build a brand, to build a global brand. And if it's driven by this kind of attitude, or if anyone want to launch a campaign and follow these rules, it can be very successful. If it's to make money, it really doesn't make sense. It's really not like the goal.
True. I would agree. But yeah, I mean, of course, you got a lot of press and you got a lot of, you know, a lot of exposure. So how was after Kickstarter? Was, you know, of course, there's a lot of companies that have Kickstarter campaigns have trouble delivering or being on time.
Yeah, definitely. The main challenge actually is for, at least for us and for many people, is like we came from the business to business, from the the business side. We did not know anything from the enterprise side, let's say, and we did not know anything about consumer. And we have been in learning curve about like how to deal with the end user or to deal with like the consumer, and that has been very, very tough because people are tough. We were a very professional team, and we are like a bunch of telecom engineers, so we know what we are doing. But after dealing with the end user, and we did not expect it like to receive that much feedback, that many feedbacks from everywhere in the world. We received, I think, on our Kickstarter page, we got like more than 20,000 comments, and every comment is an email. So we received like the first weeks, I received thousands of emails. So we did not expect it that. Actually. We did not expect to receive. We were not ready on that. On the delivery, we were not too bad. Every successful campaign usually is late because you do not expect that big. But at the end, we were not too bad. So people were rather happy.
Well, yeah, I also think because you've been in China for so many years already and you experienced, so I think that's a definitely an advantage. You had a lot of other, I think, Kickstarter campaigns don't know how to do manufacturing or experience here. So you definitely have that advantage on your side. So that's great. And then I know, we've talked before, we meet many times in the past. So I've heard you speak about maybe getting some more larger contracts with like brands and distributors. Is that maybe you can share with some people? Was that from Kickstarter or maybe your own? Like, I know you go to a lot of conferences and trade shows. How have you been able to get those types of relationships?
So we had our background, our contacts, but as I mentioned before, we show that product to many, many people and no one were really willing like to launch a product under their own brand. That's why actually, if one of them signed that project like under their own brand name, Homemade would not exist. So I should say thank you to them now. but actually after that, the press, the marketing important. So we got suddenly like as a highlight and people contacted us. So for example, still today we have no sales people in the company. We have no one knocking any door. We only want to deal with people who are really interested in working with us. So it usually start by someone knocking orders or contacted us by email and telling us, hey, I like what you're doing. I would be interested in working with you. So that's more strategy right now.
Great. Yeah, it's definitely, like you said, like, I guess you, in a way you took some problem or some, at the beginning, people didn't want to, you said it was too complicated, but then you ended up making Omei and now you've done really well. And so some people might've been discouraged by people saying it's too complicated, but it's great that you persisted and decided to make it with your own brand. And now you've gotten so far. So it's really great. So now you're in the 500 Startups program. Maybe explain the process maybe from 2013 Kickstarter delivery, 2014. You were probably, did you do another kick? I think you did another Kickstarter, right?
So very quickly, we launched on Kickstarter. We are really a real Kickstarter company. And then we focused on delivering, on shipping to our distributors as well. Last year was a big transition period because we were like, I think even more 2015 is a transition period, but we all 2014, we were busy on this one product, and it's kind of hard to be a one product company. So because you are assimilated as that product. So we got very lucky to get into the radar of a semiconductor company called Arm and a MediaTek in Taiwan, and they offer us like to be their lead customer on a new chipset, on a new component, which is very unique. Like, I mean, it never happened for this kind of giant company, a multi-billion dollar company to select a startup to be the lead customer. So we took it as a great advantage, but actually it has been also, we say like leading edge technology. It's also like a bleeding edge technology, because you are debugging and you are like, so for the last 6 months, thanks to that, we have been able to launch like a full collection of new wearables. And step by step, we have been signing some good names. So we got like, so one of them is a Berkshire Hathaway company, is Richline, is one of the largest distributor of jewelry and watches in North America and the UK. We signed like many partnership with some telecom operators in Taiwan, in China. So we are growing step by step through our network or through opportunities. And here at 500 Startup is really mainly to work on growth and work on investment and how to expand the team globally, etc. So that's an experience. It's awesome. Part of our first investor, actually.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's really great. You've done so much with like bootstrapping and Kickstarters to get so far and build such a great brand and exposure. So I think you're on the right track. So it seems like you've kind of given us some ideas. You're growing the company in 500 startups, getting global distribution. What's maybe your 6 month, 1 year like plan?
So we are actually working hard on expanding our wearables collection into smart jewelries, because we got like a great PR, a great marketing campaign with our ladies watch. So we are working on things which are different than other companies. We are expanding into areas which are a bit underserved, actually, like a woman, like jewelries. We also announced like one of our smartwatch for the will be for Africa, will be assembled in Africa, will be made in Africa. Wow. So we are really doing things very different, in a different way than the big tier one companies. And so smart jewelry is part of our strategy, and teaming up with some people from this industry is part of our priorities right now.
That's great. Yeah, of course we didn't talk about it, but of course the iWatch is recently come out, and Android Wear, there's a lot of wearables is really, really hot, which is great. I mean, it means the market's there and getting bigger. So I like to hear that you're differentiating and the smart jewelry. That's pretty cool idea. And women, I guess most of these, I think wearables are targeting geeks, I think, right? More than specifically like women. I guess there's a lot of girls that are pretty getting more tech and they still want to be fashionable. So it's an interesting angle. And what's been the feedback so far with women and jewelry wear?
Yeah, actually, it's all about, I would say, what we believe, what we are doing right now is we are designing, we are working on building the wearables of the 21st century. So, when we were kids, like watching Back to the Future 2, and it was in 2015, and we are in 2015, and there are no flying cars, there are no, auto lace shoes, there is no overboard, there are no mini pizza extra, but at least as a kid, if I saw the watch we are designing, if I see that, I think I would have been, it could have been part of the movie and it would have been cool. So that's just, we're just designing like the iconic design of the 20th century. We try to remake them at the source of the 21st century. So there is definitely a market. People like the idea, or we live in a connected world. So the most important device in our world, for you, for me, for anyone right now, is our smartphone. We are really like connected, addicted, and like smart jewelry, smart watches are just a way like to, you know, to connect you in a different way, to connect you in a, it can be more efficient. It can be, it's just a way like to be connected in a, yeah, in a different way. So we are working on some very cool stuff, invisible tech, but powerful and interesting technologies that we are working on.
Cool. Yeah, I wish you the best, and you've been doing a great job so far. So maybe some listeners are at the edge of their seats wondering how can they try to build their own brand and hardware and Kickstarter. What are some tips you would tell an entrepreneur listening?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard. Hardware, at least on the hardware, hardware is hard. So when you, to build products is, you need to team up with professional and, but to build your brand, yeah, it takes time. You need, we're also in the learning curve. So I would not be like, probably the best person like to give you advice, but because I'm also in the same boat as you to build a global brand. But what I, from my side, what I'm trying to do is not to build a local brand. Is really like to very quickly we did not want it. I'm French and our company is not a French company, or we were based in China, or when we are based now in here in Mountain View, we really try to have no flag in our back. We try really like to build a global brand. So you don't know where your brand will pop up, where it will be successful. For us, suddenly it has been Taiwan and South Korea. Right now we are quite hot there, but we're very happy to be you know, to have some hype or to have some attention in any country in the world. So the only thing I would say is like focus on the world. Build your Facebook is a great tool, I think, for that, because you can find people from everywhere in the world who can like your product. You can push some ads. You can get, you know, through interest. So that's probably the only advice I could give. Like, try to build your social media community. Use Facebook is a great platform for that.
Great. I think you also gave a lot of tips in the interview. I think you're doing it right. You didn't let things get in your way. Like, you tried to get some other brands to take your design, but they weren't interested, but you still went and persisted, and now you have Omate. But I think that's the right attitude, right? I think there's a lot of people are just wondering how do they start. I think it's just really just doing it, right? And staying, you're very positive, and you know, you're gonna always, we're always learning, right? I don't think we're ever gonna be done learning. So it's just keep pushing forward, right? And I think you were just saying like the global market, finding where the market takes you, finding your niche, finding like where people want your product and your brand. So I think the whole show has been really helpful for people. So thanks, Laurent. That's all I have. And what are some ways people could reach out to you and your business, Omate?
So thanks for your time. And basically, we can reach us out through Facebook. We are very on, if you write Omate True Smart, that's the name of our page. We are very easy like to connect there, and otherwise for myself, like on Twitter at L Le Pen, LLEPM, that's the best way to interact with me.
Okay, great. Well, we'll also link these up on the show notes on the website too. So thanks again, Laurent, and good luck at 500 Startups.
Cool, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Laurent, for coming on the show, and best of luck as you go through the 500 Startups program. I'm hoping you get back onto the show and give us some more updates as things progress. It's pretty cool how he tried to sell his design to some of the bigger clients that he had been working with, and they thought it was too complicated, so instead he took it to Kickstarter. It leads me to think of what Chris Moore, my friend, sent me just a couple of days ago about a great podcast about dealing with relationships, building them, and also crowdfunding. I listened to it a couple of times while I'm here walking around on the streets of Shanghai, and I think you should check it out. It's the I Love Marketing podcast hosted by Dean and Joe, who interviewed Judy Robinette. It's a little bit of an older show from November last year, episode number 178. I'll link it up on the show notes, but it did help me understand how to better structure my relationship building. as well as validate my excitement for how crowdfunding has been really leveling the playing field around the world and not keeping all the money and the power at the big brands and the venture capitalists. So people with creativity and drive from anywhere in the world are now able to access markets and make their dreams come true. So that's kind of happening for Laurent here. And great job again for Laurent. And also you, the listener, I hope you're making progress with your business. Thank you for listening all the way through this show and for coming through with this journey of these shows and interviews. If you have, of course, feedback, ideas, questions, let me know. And I also appreciate 5-star reviews on iTunes. Helps out with others to find the show. And with that, I will end the show and catch you next week. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.